Well, here's the deal. Since Adam has already been up here and said it's a really good word, and Chris is saying, I feel the pressure to actually, like, perform. So thank you guys so much for that. No, we did. We had a powerful first service, and I think, man, like I said in the beginning of the series, if you've been here for the first 2 weeks and then this week, I said it was going to be challenging. James's book in the Bible is already challenging by itself. And I kind of just wanted you guys to know that. And each week as I preach, I just keep telling people, like, this is the word of God, and this is what it does to our life. And so anyway, if you haven't already been like, oh man, you should strap in and get ready for what God is going to bring today. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad that you're here. Just really quick, I'll kind of update you what we've been doing. We kicked off this series 3 weeks ago. We're studying through the book of James. And in the beginning of the series, at the very end of that sermon, I kind of issued a challenge to make a commitment to a few things. I'm gonna have them put the commitment slide up on the screen just as a refresher, and then maybe for you, if you didn't or are joining us, you could commit to the same thing. And so the first thing, as I rolled out some resources, so I said, like, I'm gonna challenge you on Sunday, but you need to continue to challenge yourself every day, so I wanna give you some things to do that. So I put out a book, it's the Five Marks of Maturity book. It's a devotional book for you to go through. As we preach through James, it also challenges you to read through a chapter of James every day of the weekday, so essentially by the end of 6 weeks, you have read through James 6 times. Along with that, it talks about James, and I said, you know, grab the scripture journal or your own Bible, and so that is another commitment that you're making to read James. And then I said, man, be here every week. I know it's summer, I know there's a lot going on, but this is such an important part of our journey, of our faith, and I want you to be challenged. I really want you to press into that, and so that's the third thing. And then lastly, I said, you know, if you've never been, I would encourage you, come out to Bible study on Sunday night. I'm giving you just a snapshot of what's in James, and then on Sunday nights, we really get to unpack it. You get to study it for yourself. We get to have great discussion, and so if you are wanting to go deeper, if you're wanting to learn more, if you have some questions, join us on Sunday night. It is an amazing time. So that's kind of the commitments. I will say really quickly, the Five Marks booklet, I think there's one left back there. There's a few more James journals, so if you're wanting the last one, go now. Don't wait. And if someone tries to get there first, push them down. Okay, you deserve it. But no, so like if you end up saying, you know what, I do want one, I didn't get one, I want one now, you could literally just grab a Next Steps card, write Five Marks book, and I'll get some more books ordered so you can grab one of those. Okay, during this whole time, we've been going through James, we've been memorizing scripture each week. First week, we memorized James 1:4. Last week, we kicked off the first mark of maturity, which was patient in testing. How many of you all had your patience tested this past week? You're welcome. I prayed for that. I did that for you. I see. I care for you guys so much. And I pray that through that. Like, God showed you some things, revealed some things, and you remembered to be patient through whatever the testing was. During that time, if you're going along with the books, we've been memorizing a passage of scripture. These scriptures go along with each one of the marks, and so we memorized James 1, 2, and 3 last week. And so just kind of as a refresher, I wanted to read it together, so it'll be up on the screen behind me. And join me in reading God's word. Here we go. Consider it great joy whenever you experience trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Powerful scripture, powerful reminder. So continue to do that. Continue to be patient in testing. Continue to speak that scripture over your life. Today, we're going to dive into the second mark of maturity, which is prayerful in times of trouble. Our verse that goes with it is James 1:5. Here's what James 1:5 says. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously, and it will be given to him. And so what we're going to do today, based off of that, we're going to look at and focus on really two things: asking for wisdom through prayer. So it's wisdom and prayer. That is our focus. How many of you have ever heard or even said the phrase, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission? And how many of you had to ask for forgiveness and face the consequences after that? That tends to be how it usually happens. And it's so funny, like I was thinking about my kids, and oftentimes what happens, because we have a lot of kids and they're different ages, and so what happens is one will ask for permission to do something. And they'll go do that thing, or we'll say, yes, you can. And that immediately means that all the other kids can do the same thing. And so, like, well, they were doing it. I was like, that doesn't mean you get to do it. I didn't tell you you had permission. We're constantly having to tell them, don't just do something or think that you can do something because your brother and sister got to do it. We've had a conversation. We worked that out, and we had it. And that doesn't mean you get to do it. And this is just one of the things we're constantly telling them. Ask first so that you don't have to face the consequences of doing something you never asked permission for. And so I was just thinking about this, like as it pertains to us as God's children. And I think what tends to happen is oftentimes we see what others have, we see what they're experiencing, we see the opportunities that they are getting, and we go, we want that. We want the same thing. And if they're a brother and sister in Christ, and that's what they're getting to experience, and that's what they're, then that means I get to do the same thing. And I'm just going, that's not necessarily what that means. And just because God grants permission or says to someone else, here's where I want you to go and here's what I want you to have, that doesn't mean you will be treated in the same way. I'm going, our Heavenly Father most likely has a different plan for us than the other person. And this is one of those things, like, we got to stop comparing ourselves to other people and going, man, I just wish I was living the life that they were living. Listen, the life that God has for you is the life that you need to live. You're not called to live someone else's life. You're not called to step into someone else's calling. And the things that he is doing, the ways that he is blessing, the testings, the trials, all of those things, they are meant for you. So don't compare yourself. Don't go, man, look at that. Look at how they're living. Look at the things they're doing. I wish I could get there. And God's going, I don't need you to. That's not the plan that I have for you. And so it's just, I was just thinking about in blessing and in trial. Now, thankfully, even when we don't seek him, when we don't ask, right, God is forgiving. He's compassionate and he's merciful. And while it's true that he forgives us, what I'll say is that doesn't mean that there won't be consequences. And so we've always got to keep that in mind. And so I'll also say, seeking wisdom from God isn't only about keeping us from the consequences, right? Like, we don't go to God just to avoid consequences. We don't ask God things just to avoid consequences. As we go through testing or trial or suffering, and we're desiring to be what James calls us to, mature, complete, and lacking nothing, here's what I'll say. We must learn to ask God before we act or even react the way that we think we should or the way that we think is right. Does that make sense? Oftentimes we go, okay, this is just the right move. I don't even need to bring it to God. You see, many times what happens is we find ourselves in trouble because instead of asking for wisdom to do God's will, we act to fill our own desires. And this is something that I think we constantly gotta remind ourselves of. Like, is this for me? Is this for my good? Is this for my comfort? Is this for me to be blessed? Or am I seeking to do God's will in whatever is taking place? At the end of the day, we're so quick to say yes without prayer if it's something we want. We'll say yes to a new car payment, even though we can't afford it. We'll say yes to the BOGO at Publix, even though we don't need either one of those things. We're just walking through and like, there's a BOGO, mine. It's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with these, but maybe, because I get one for free, so it's free, it's for me. I'm gonna take it, don't need it, right? And to spend the money we don't need. We say yes to those theme park tickets, even though we're struggling to pay bills. We say yes to staying out late on Saturday night. And then yes to sleeping in. We say yes to our desires, to our plans, to our comforts. We say yes to God on Sunday, but not the rest of the week. We say yes to the people we get along with, the people who stroke our ego, or will affirm our feelings. It's easy. It's easy to say yes to those things. And that's where the enemy wants us to live. But we're quick to say no if it's God's will, right? No to this new job, to this new career, maybe because we feel inexperienced or ill-equipped. Maybe it's lower pay. Maybe we have to move. Maybe we're having to learn new things. Maybe we're meeting new people. Say, I don't know about that. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to stay comfortable. We say no to sharing or being bold in our faith. We say no to financial support of the local church for whatever reason. We'll say no to stepping into a calling of foster care or adoption. No to serving on Sunday. No to more time in his word, more time with his people. No to stepping into a ministerial calling, because that'll just mess our plans up. We often say no to holding our friends accountable when we know we should. We're calling out our brothers and sisters in Christ who are living in sin. And oftentimes we say no to defending God's word, even though the world continually tries to distort it and turn it into something that it's not. And in all these things, here's what I've realized. It often comes down to this: our comforts, our expectations, and our control. Will it be more work? Will it make me uncomfortable? Will it bring more responsibility? Will it require me to surrender or be submissive? Without prayer, we say sorry. No, I can't do it. And then on the flip side, we go, will it be easy for me? Will it bless me? Will it require little from me? Will it bring me recognition? Without prayer, we say, yeah, that's for me. I'm going to take that. And I'm going, in either scenario, we got to go, God, what do you want? God, what do you will? It's so easy to say yes to the desires of our heart. It's so easy to say yes to the blessings, to the comfort. It's also very, very easy to say no to the unknown, to the uncomfortable, and often difficult things that God is calling us to. And so what I'll say is this, is if we want wisdom that comes through prayer in times of trouble, we have to stop praying for things that bring us the most comfort and start praying for things that bring God the most glory. And what it does is it puts him in first place and us in second. His will over ours. What he's doing over what we desire to see. And as it comes to understanding these things, like if we lack understanding in God's will, if it's too easy for you to say yes or too easy for you to say no, this is when we go, I'm not sure, so let me go to God. Let me ask God for wisdom or to show me wisdom, whether it be through his spirit, through his people, or through his word. We're seeking wisdom. And you've got to understand, like, wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom as this: knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. Let me define it this way. Wisdom is knowing how to rightly use the knowledge that you have gained and rightly used it for your good, the good of others, and for the glory of God. So you see, at the end of the day, knowledge by itself, man, oftentimes that can keep you from stepping out in faith. I think sometimes we have so much knowledge, we have so much know-how, we see so much, and we get all these other voices and things coming in and telling us no, that we go, okay, well, all the knowledge, I'm going to say no. Instead of going, God, even with all this knowledge, what do you want me to do? Even if this seems impossible, I know you're the God of impossible. Do you want me to step into this thing? Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together and relate God's truth to our daily life. And I go, what he's saying is that wisdom brings us to God's word and allows us to mature because we're being obedient to what God says. I was thinking about, you know, just wisdom and going to wisdom and asking for wisdom. And every time I think about that, I go back to King Solomon. 1 Kings 3, Solomon becomes king after his father David. You know, King David was like the king, right? And in this moment, we learn that King David becomes one of the wisest kings of all of Israel. Maybe even the wisest person to ever live. Do you want to know why? Because when God said to him, ask whatever you want, whatever your heart desires, do you know what he asked for? Wisdom. God, give me the wisdom to lead your people. Help me to steward them well. God, I feel ill-equipped. I feel inexperienced. I got big shoes to fill from my father. Give me wisdom in all things. And God, because he asked for wisdom, he says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, right, knowledge and how to use it to lead your people, but he also blessed him with riches, wealth, and honor. Solomon asked not just for knowledge, but insight on how to effectively apply that knowledge to the people he was called to lead, God's people. And I'm looking, I go, man, wisdom, especially spiritual wisdom, it's not just about knowing what's good for you. It's about applying that knowledge to your life, like I said earlier, for your good, for the good of others, and then ultimately for the glory of God. And I was thinking about this, and it's something very near and dear to my heart, because when we stepped out to plant Kairos Church, when God called me from a youth pastor to a lead pastor, I'm going, hold up. I was like, I'm good with the teenagers, because I am one, right, immaturity-wise, right? And so now you're calling me to lead an entire church. And I it was one of those things where, like, if you go through and read 1 Kings, it's like he was young and inexperienced, and I'm going, listen, I may not be that young, but I still feel inexperienced. And so I like echoed Solomon's prayer. God, if you're going to call me into this, to planting a church, to starting a church, to shepherding a people, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me discernment? And the thing about it is, like, I understood my calling. I had peace about what he was calling me into, but at the same time, I was anxious and nervous about messing it all up. Right, about leading his people astray, about letting others down, about letting God down. And so every day, God, man, give me wisdom to make the right decision. God, help me continue to follow you, your leading, not what I think and not what I think is going to be the best route and all those things. And so I just continued to add, and that continues to be my prayer. God, give me wisdom as I lead, shepherd, steward your people. Because this is his church. It's not my church. It's his church. I have just been graciously been given the opportunity to lead it. And I know that, and I'm so thankful for it. And I think the same is true for each of us in our lives. The relationships that you have, the job that you have, the money that you have, the house that you have. And at the end of the day, it all belongs to him. And so it's just one of those things. God, I continue to ask for wisdom. But here's the thing. Asking for wisdom is one thing. Following what God says after you ask requires obedience to act on it. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But I say all that to say, like, yes, I've been asking for wisdom as I stepped into that. I continue to ask, but that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean I don't mess up. That doesn't mean there are times when I don't listen or I have delayed obedience. You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. I'm going to stick a pin in that and I'll get to it when I'm ready. I've stuck my foot in my mouth so many times because I made God wait. And he's like, fine. It would have been a lot easier if you just went a bit obedient when I told you to do it. Anyway, I digress. And so I just say all that. Like, there are times when I mess it up. But thankfully, God, through my failures and learning from them, guess what he's done? He's continued to mature me. Because I continue to seek him for wisdom in all things. I'm not allowing myself to get to a place where I go, you know what? I've done this for 9 years and I've arrived. The moment I get to that place is the beginning of my fall. And I think we all need to come back to this and understand this. And so, when we are asking for wisdom, we need to understand what wisdom is, right? It's knowledge and how to effectively use it. And then we have to apply the wisdom. But then I go, we also need to make sure that wherever we're getting knowledge or seeking wisdom, that we're getting it from the right place. And so James, in chapter 3, he jumps into this. So let's read James chapter 3, verse 13. He says this, who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I mean, look at those three things and how they're connected. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every kind of evil. And so I just go, like, what earthly wisdom do we seek over heavenly wisdom? What earthly wisdom are we choosing to follow over heavenly wisdom? Y'all, there are so many competing voices in our lives today. So many things that are inputting knowledge and information into our minds, into our hearts. There are podcasts. There are self-help books. There's blogs. There's these trendy phrases online and all these things we share and we see and go, oh, yeah, that appeals to my comfort, my desire, love it, go. there's all these things. There's palm readers and horoscopes and all these things that at the end of the day, we go, that's not the wisdom from above. And if that's not enough, now we have AI. AI comes in and we have an overabundance of knowledge and information. From the outset, I'll say that AI can be helpful, but I also say it can be just as dangerous. And I don't want to deviate too far, because I could talk on this for the rest of the year. But here's what I'll say. AI caters to our desire for comfort and convenience. It's easier, it's quicker. It keeps us from talking to others and relating to others and just going to the Word of God for the truth. I don't know how you use it. I don't know what you use it for. But essentially what it's done, it's allowing us to learn or produce something with the least amount of effort from us. I talk about doing a series on AI, and I want to call it Achieved Ignorance. Because essentially, that's what's happening to us. The more we depend on that to live our lives for us or make decisions for us over seeking the Word of God, the more ignorant we can become and the less wise we become. Anyway, I got to get back. That'll be one. Pray for that as I develop that. You guys will love that. Okay. Now, regardless of whatever media input that you have, whatever you're using to gain knowledge and hopefully with it wisdom, again, the question becomes, is it the right knowledge or information? And you go, is it heavenly or is it earthly? Is it spiritual or is it unspiritual? Is it biblical? Y'all, I can't stress this enough, and I say it all the time. Just because you hear someone say something about the Bible doesn't mean it's true. You can listen to a pastor. There are so many false teachers on the internet today. There are false teachers on your feed today. There are false teachers that you have shared their reel today, and you don't even know it. You want to know why you don't know it? Because you liked what they said. It tickled your ears, and instead of going back to the Word and going, is that true? You're like, I like that. I'm sharing that. I'm believing that. Hold up everything to this truth. Not my truth. Not some other pastor's truth. This is the only truth. What's in here is the infallible, unchanging Word of God. Every letter. Do you understand? Nothing changes about who God is or what he calls us to do or how he calls us to live. And our culture today wants to come against that and say, no, those things have changed. False. All we're doing is rationalizing sin and affirming people's feelings and emotions. And a lot of us need to catch ourselves on that. I get it. We have friends. We have people that we love. They're living in sin, and we're going, it's okay. I don't want to offend you, so you're good. And meanwhile, what we're doing is we are sending them straight to hell. Is it biblical? And do you know whether or not it's biblical? And that if you don't, you need to stop watching Instagram reels and pick up your Bible and spend more time with him. Know the truth, and know when the truth is being told to you. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone else's word for it. You want to know who you want to listen to? The Holy Spirit in his word. Is it biblical? Does it honor God? Does it challenge your feelings? Or simply appeal to your comforts and desires? What knowledge, what information are you getting? Where are you getting it from? And then I go, are you effectively using whatever it is to become more like Christ? To be mature in your faith and to do God's will? Listen, here's the reality. Pursuit of earthly wisdom, you want to know what it does? It puts us in our agenda first. We're number one, and we're looking out for us, what we want, what we desire, what we feel. Whereas if we pursue heavenly wisdom, it puts God in his plan first. And oftentimes, man, there's tension and friction that comes when it comes to our wants and our desires and what God is wanting to do in our life. And I go, if we're strictly relying on earthly wisdom, it will lead us astray. And it will bring about things in our life like James already mentioned: envy, selfish ambition, bitterness, disorder, and chaos. Look around the world today. What do you see? It's probably those things. Do you want to know why? Because too many people, even professing Christians, are choosing earthly wisdom over heavenly wisdom. But true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, produces the opposite of that. And so we continue on in verse 17. It says, the wisdom from above is first pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant. We love that word. Raise your hand if you're like, I love compliance. Full of mercy, good fruits, without favoritism or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. And once again, James is bringing up this illustration of fruit. Remember last week I talked about the fruit that's growing in you, and like, I got fruit growing in me? Yeah, you got fruit growing. He's bringing it up again, and there's this fruit of peace. Peace comes from wisdom that brings patience that causes us to be mature in our faith. Do you understand that line of thinking? Peace, wisdom, patience, maturity. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul speaks directly to this. And who we're supposed to look to and what's supposed to look like in our life and how we're called to be mature. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 4, verse 12. And he's talking about the leaders of the church. He says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It's echoing what James is saying, right? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Hello, that's what's taking place today with false teaching and earthly wisdom. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Man, it's almost like the Spirit was speaking through Paul right to our day today, is it not? People say the Word of God isn't relevant. There's 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Heavenly wisdom, you ready for it? Will lead mature believers to speak God's truth in love. It's not rationalizing sin. It's not affirming feelings. It's not going, hey man, you know what? Things have changed, cultures change. So that part of the Bible doesn't really apply to us today. No, we go, this is God's word. And this is what I'm going to lean towards and lean to and defend no matter what. That's what heavenly wisdom leads to, speaking the truth in love. Heavenly wisdom leads to us holding our friend accountable for their words and actions, especially a brother and sister in Christ. Heavenly wisdom leads us to disciplining our kids despite emotional or even physical discomfort. Now, real quick before you go, wait, he's talking about beating kids? No. I'm not talking about the physical discomfort of beating your kids. Some of your kids might need it, but I'm not going to get involved, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the physical discomfort that comes when they have to do something they don't want to. Like brush their teeth, y'all. Who knew that was going to be the greatest fight of a parent's life? To have their kids brush their teeth. Cohen fights me, bro, and I'm like, how is this kid so strong right now? Just open your mouth and let me help you, you know? Brushing their teeth, going to bed, doing a chore, doing school. I mean, the discomfort that comes from having them apologize for doing something wrong. That's what I'm talking about. And some of us go, but they're crying. Oh, they're so cute. Here, have a lollipop. It's okay. Smack your brother. Break their stuff. I'm not going to discipline you. Some of y'all need to stop and start using heavenly wisdom instead of giving in to those crocodile tears. I'm guilty, by the way. Cohen's so cute. My wife's guilty, too. And so it's like, I'm not just speaking to you. I'm like telling myself this. I think the other night, he was having such a hard time, wouldn't eat anything. We're like, fine, eat a brownie, bro. Like, I don't know. So anyway, heavenly wisdom leads to disciplining our kids. Heavenly wisdom leads to giving, ready? Godly, biblical advice over what our friends want to hear. Oh, imagine that. Heavenly wisdom leads to reading and hearing God's word, but not just reading and hearing it, but then actually applying it to our lives. That's what heavenly wisdom looks like. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, we need wisdom so that we will not waste the opportunities God has given us to mature. Man, it's powerful. So now we understand we are meant to seek out and ask for heavenly wisdom over worldly wisdom. How do we ask? You ready? It's so simple. Prayer. Just pray for it. Go to God. Seek God. Philippians 4:6 says this. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through what? In everything through prayer, let your requests be made known to God. I love this. You want to know why I love this? Because right here, we are given the opportunity to take whatever to God. Do you understand? Everything means everything. And so I say to God, listen, today I need a really good cup of coffee. God, will you help me with that? Give me that. If I say I've had a long day, when I get home, I need a nap. God, will you make that happen? Please. And if your will be done. And I'm like, it should be done, because if not, my kids are going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Let me help me help them. In everything. And if we, as we take all these things, listen to me, so many people get so up in arms about how do I pray, what do I pray, what do I say, what is my posture? This is your father, you are his son or daughter, you can talk to him just like he was your friend. He's given you that. And I would say, do just that. Hold nothing back. There are times when I wish my kids would talk to me more and share more. And I know there's reasons why they hold back, and I know there's reasons why they don't share. A lot of times because they're going to get the consequences, but still, I want them to share. I want them to talk to me. And really, what is it saying? If you bring it to God and you let it be known, if you lay it all out there, what's it say? The peace of God, which surpasses every thought, what's it going to do? It's going to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I just go, once again, what we see is that the pursuit of godly wisdom in every situation brings peace. I tell people this all the time. They're making a decision. They're having a hard time deciding on something. I said, when you are living in God's will, you will have a peace about it. And if you ask yourself, do you have peace, and you hesitate at all, stop and go back and seek God. Because when we're living in the will of God, whether we're suffering and testing and trial or in blessing, there will be peace that comes from him. So, where was I? Okay, here we go. Now, we got to jump over to James 5. And I gotta wrap this up, but whatever. You guys aren't going anywhere. Okay, so James 5. So we talk about prayer. James continues to press into prayer and how it brings wisdom. So let me give this to you. James 5, verse 13. We're going to go all the way through 20. He says, is anyone among you suffering? What should he do? Is anyone cheerful? He should do what? Praises. If anyone among you is sick, he should call for the elders, and they should do what? Pray. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will restore him to health. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. I love this last part of 16. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Listen, y'all, do you understand what that's saying? It's talking about you, that's talking about me. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Verse 19, it says, my brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins. Man, too often we forget the power of prayer. Too often I forget the power of prayer. And in chapter 5, James reminds us of the importance of prayer, but not just for us. I love it because I want to lay this out to you. It's also for others. And so James kind of goes through. He's like, pray for yourself. Like, you have been given the opportunity to go to God and pray for yourself. That's in verse 5:13. Then he says, pray for other believers. Pray for the saved. Come alongside them. Pray for one another, and then pray for sinners. Verse 20, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is the power of prayer. It's prayers for ourselves, it's prayer for our church, it's prayer for the world. And I go, we should never take for granted the permission we've been given to take our request to God. And so I go, James hits on the importance of prayer throughout his letter. And I go, you don't know why? It's to combat the enemy's attempts to keep us from communicating with God. Can I just tell you, The enemy doesn't want you to communicate with God. The enemy doesn't want you to communicate with other believers. He doesn't want you to hear from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to hear this word. If he can keep you in any way necessary from communicating anything with God, he's going, I'm winning. And so oftentimes in times of trouble or testing, we deceive ourselves into thinking that prayer can't help us now. We don't even take it to him. Or we pray, and if we don't get immediate response or results, we stop asking. Or we think, you know what, my problem's too trivial. I'm not going to take that to God. Or we convince ourselves that what we're going through is what we deserve, whether we actually deserve it or not. Or we've come to the place where we go, you know what, God just wants to punish me. That's all he's ever been doing. He doesn't want to bless me, so I'm not going to ask him anything. Or maybe in our asking, we simply lack faith. It's like we ask because we know we have given permission to ask, but we've already determined in our mind how God's going to answer. And so like we've given up before we even hear anything from him. And so we go all the way back to James 1, verse 5. What's he say? If you lack wisdom, ask God. Verse 6 says, but ask in faith without doubting. Why? Because the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's like all of us love the first part. Like James 5 is great. If you ask, God will give it to you generously. And we kind of stop right there. Is there doubt? Do we have the faith? Are we asking the right things? See, our doubt causes our faith to waver. It causes us to stop going to God for wisdom. And guess what happens when we get to that place? Turmoil, division, chaos. The opposite of the peace that God desires in our lives. And so I just go, man, we need wisdom. And we've been given access to the greatest source of wisdom. The creator and sustainer of all things has invited us into relationship with him, has given us his word. And so as we seek godly wisdom, here's what we do. We got to ask for God's will to be done, not our own. We got to ask for patience to endure the testing, not to just be spared or removed from whatever's happening. We got to ask believing that God will do what he said. And then finally, I say, we got to ask patiently and persistently. God will never tire of hearing from you. Do you understand? He loves you so much. And he wants you to know that. And I go, Jesus modeled this for us. And so if we're striving to be mature, complete, and lacking nothing, we got to look to his perfect example. Jesus prayed without ceasing. Jesus prayed for God's will to be done. Jesus prayed for endurance in the suffering, in the testing. And I go, if that is true for the Son of God, he's perfect, he's blameless, he's sinless, he's holy, he's righteous. And if he prayed without ceasing, how much more do you and I have to do it? How much more do you and I have to seek God for wisdom in the things that we are going through? Jesus prayed, and he prayed often that God's will would be done. And in his moment of most intense suffering, he knew what was about to happen to him on the cross. And we get to this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane right before. And here's what it says in Matthew 26, 36. Jesus came with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, sit here, I'm going to go over here and pray. Going a little further, he fell face down and he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he ended it. And he was done. False. Guess what he said next? Yeah, not as I will, but as you will. And I just go, look, if that's Jesus' posture in prayer, that should be our posture in every prayer. God, not what I want, not what I desire. Not because I'm afraid. But I want to live in your will. No matter what it might bring or what it might mean. How often do we pray like that? Whether we're in trial or trouble or suffering or even in the midst of blessing. God, not my will, but yours be done. I think we see something else here from Jesus. You know what he showcases to us? It is okay for us to cry out in our affliction to our Heavenly Father and say, what I'm going through is hard. What I've been experiencing is really tough, God. I just want you to know I'm struggling. If you could take me out of it, that'd be great, right? But if not, that's okay too. Because I want your will to be done. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows how you're suffering. And he wants to hear from you. But I also need you to know this. Our suffering will never deter God's will for our life. And I think that's a hard truth to reconcile, isn't it? Because a lot of people go, why would such a good God and a loving God allow us to suffer, allow us to go through pain? I'll say it like this. God must do what he planned to in order to draw you and others and more people into relationship with him. That's what he desires. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants a relationship with you, but not just you. And he might be working through you, your suffering, your pain, your testing, your trial right now, because he's got someone else in mind who has not yet come to know him. And he's going to use the very thing you're going through right now. If you'll endure, if you'll seek his wisdom, if you'll ask what he's doing, man, a life will be saved for all of eternity. I know I went a little long, but here's what I want to do. Knock it off. See, the enemy's coming at us, you know? I'm easily distracted too, and he knows that. So what we're going to do is we're going to move into a time of prayer. So let's do this. Those lights are freaking out. Let's close our eyes. As God was like, listen, man, wrap it up. Okay, I hear you. Okay. I want to move into a time of prayer. I want to give you a moment of prayer. Again, I think we live in such a busy, hurried, paced world that often we don't just get time to ourselves, time with God. I want to give it to you. Just a few moments. But before I do, like taking everything that I've already given you, I want to give you some questions as you consider and think about going to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When you pray, why do you pray? What's the motive and intention of your heart? If you're going through trouble or trial, are you seeking just God to remove you from it? Or are you asking for wisdom to endure through it? Are you seeking to know what God is doing in the midst of whatever you're going through? Are you willing to ask God, hey, how are you preparing me for what's to come next? Do your prayers often feel self-centered and comfort-based? Or are they others-focused and with an obedient servant's heart? Have you gotten to a place where your prayers just feel rehearsed? You're just going through the motion, saying the same prayer, the same thing as you did the day before, the week before, the month before, the year before. I wonder today, have you come to a place where doubt in the answer has overcome your faith in the asking? I'm going right now in this moment, God wants to help you in that. So as we move into this time of prayer, I say, well, you know, what are you seeking God for wisdom for? What are you going through? What are you experiencing? What is weighing heavy on your heart? What do you need to make a decision in? Maybe it's in a relationship, whether it's to pursue a relationship or to cut off a toxic one. Maybe it's in the decision to grow your family one way or the other, however God wants to do it. Maybe it's something to do with finances. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you're having issues with a child. Maybe there's a communication in a marriage. What I would say with all these things in mind, take it right now and go to God. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for discernment. Cry out in your pain, your affliction, your suffering. Let him know. Be honest. But have the posture of Jesus at the end. Not my will. God, your will be done in me and through me. Take time right now to pray. God, we thank you for this time to just be in your presence. I just go, there's so much peace in your presence. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for the Spirit that dwells within us, who have professed and confessed your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to just talk to you, communicate with you, share with you, hear from you. What a privilege, what an honor. But I pray for an outpouring of wisdom in our church. But I pray that there will be this unavoidable pull towards your word and your truth that can be applied to our situations, to our circumstances, to our life, to our relationships. May we seek your wisdom above all else and live it out. No matter what's going on, no matter what's taking place, but help us to follow you and do your will. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for moving today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.